Packet Pushers.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Packet Protector, the podcast at the intersection of networking and security. I'm Jennifer JJ Benella, here, as always, with Drew Conry Murray. And today we have Chris Greer of Packet Analysis fame. If you haven't seen him on one of our earlier episodes or seen his fantastic list of courses and free YouTube videos, he's got lots of content around Wireshark, especially. So today we're digging in with Chris around Nmap, because I think all of us use Nmap probably extensively or at least to varying degrees. But the question has been like, what is it really doing? And the switches, or I don't know, Drew, you didn't like the word switches. So options.
I got confused by switches because obviously switches has multiple contexts when you're talking networking, but switches in the Nmap context means options. And then of course, because we love to do it, we're calling them swaptions throughout the episode, just a heads up.
Swaptions along with friend thing. So Chris really, you know, because he's done packet analysis and he teaches courses on packet analysis, including of Nmap scans, he's got really great insight into what's actually happening, which I think is super useful, both for just network engineering, but also security architecture. Mm-hmm. So we dive into stealth scan versus connect scans, TCP, UDP, what Nmap is really doing during a ping scan. Hint, it's not ICMP, which was surprising to me. He looked at how device fingerprinting works, how to find Nmap scans if somebody is doing it offensively on their network. And of course, if you are trying to do it offensively, how to evade detection yourself. And then one of the things, Drew, that I thought was really interesting was how the operating system you're using Nmap from influences some of the scan results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was a fascinating conversation. You know, Nmap's been around for a while, so it could seem like, oh yeah, Nmap, whatever. But it's a really powerful tool. Chris gets into some ways you can, you know, if you're just getting started, how to be a good beginner user of Nmap, how to train yourself. But also if you're an advanced user, things you may not have known or thought about. So great stuff. And we're happy to dive in with Chris. Chris, welcome back to the podcast. And I'm sure most of our listeners know what Nmap is, but let's just set the table. What is Nmap? What does it do? How does it do it?
So Nmap is basically, it's all in the name. It's a network mapper. So it's open source. It's a tool that's readily available on a lot of distributions. A lot of different operating systems have it built in. So it is a tool that allows us to run scans that allow us to discover hosts, discover open ports, scan for vulnerabilities. It has some pretty powerful scripting capabilities. So due to its distribution, availability, and dare I say, ease of use, it's become the most popular scanning tool that we have.
All right, so that's a great overview. So scanning, what are some common use cases? What would I want to scan for?
So just taking myself, I used it when I was a network engineer pretty extensively, and I was able to quickly do a scan to be able to find devices that were on my network. So if we go into a wiring closet, we see a bunch of lit up ports. We don't always know what is connected to those ports, and Nmap helps us to do that. So find out what's out there, what's active, what's talking, and then more about each one of those devices. So just the first one, I'd just say inventory of your network. What is actually out there? Mm-hmm. Nice thing about running that, even if we're not on the security side, just as network engineering, nice thing about knowing that is that sometimes we find devices that we didn't know about or didn't expect to be there.
Yeah, that's a classic problem, I think, even these days, that folks think, yeah, I'm pretty confident about what's out there, but things change. People bring stuff in, particularly now with the availability of home networking devices. For whatever reason, somebody might set something up, new IoT devices go in or whatever. Your network is changing fairly regularly.
Absolutely. And who goes back to update documentation?
Oh, he said the dirty D word.
Is it the dirty D word?
Apparently, I love documentation, but it seems like most network engineers are allergic to it.
Yeah. So that's kind of I would say you're not the norm.
It's actually because I'm lazy. And so for me, documenting something, I don't have to go redo it, rethink it, or re-research it. And I also type very quickly. So I can just type my notes up really quickly and then it's done. Because otherwise I end up redoing that same work because I've forgotten or anyway, yeah, lazy.
No, that's great. I mean, that's actually good to put out there. Like, hey, we should be updating documentation. And there's tools that help us to do that now. And maybe then from that angle, Nmap can help us to validate our documentation. Or if there's anything out there that we didn't expect to find, you know, it can help us to go actively find that it's there.
I love it for all of the things when the enterprise equipment, you know, is set for DHCP, but you don't know which address it pulled and you're not sitting right next to it. Nmap is the quick way to just go, where did that whatever go? Switch go, printer go, AP go, and get the IP address from it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, just in my home office, I was working with Raspberry Pi the other day and I plugged it in and I was able to find it with Nmap really quickly and I was able to interact with it. So that's a common use case, right? Just finding what's there. I would say next to that would be on the security side, actually doing some auditing, like what types of ports are open and available. Using some of the deeper features of Nmap, we can go further to take a look at service versions. We can take a look at even some of the vulnerability scripting, like is there any low-hanging fruit out there that we should know about? And so that can help us to tighten things up if we're on that side of the house. And also too, if we're more into the penetration testing, Red Hat, Nmap is also a common tool for them to begin to do some of their reconnaissance. So there's a lot of different ways that Nmap can be used today.
And Chris, I think you and I both separately, but maybe in the future we'll do something together, have done stuff like with NetAlly and some of their CyberScope products. And that actually uses Nmap quite a bit, both with the scanning and then the scripting. Now you're probably way more adept at getting the right switches and getting the scripting. I am so horrible at it, but there's some cheat sheets and webinars out there and you've got some stuff on your YouTube that we're going to talk about at the end.
Yeah, I appreciate you mentioned that because I think one barrier of entry to learning Nmap is when you see someone that's adept at it and you see them rip through all these switches and use all these different features, it can be a little daunting, like, whoa, that's a long command. Like, what does that do? Dash A, dash this, dash that, dash SC. So actually recently for me, I've over the past 5 years or so, something that I've been getting more into is cybersecurity certifications. And I started to be interested in how many of them mention Nmap and how many of them required you to know cold what some of those switches were. So that's why for me on my YouTube channel, I started posting some of that stuff as I was relearning it or learning new aspects of Nmap that I just didn't need to use before. So you're 100% spot on. A tool like CyberScope from NetAlly, I mean, and this is not an ad or anything, we're not paid to say this, but there are tools out there that help you to commoditize Nmap. So it turns it into like, hey, go do this, go discover my network, and you don't have to worry about all those different command features that you would need to create on your own.
Now, I have to ask you, though, for those of us that are lazy, I know when I first started using Nmap, I had to, well, Google wasn't around, but, you know, find things in the book. And then at some point, I switched to Zenmap, and I just live the lazy life, and I save my scans in Zenmap and just click a few buttons. Are we less cool if we use Zenmap?
No, I don't think you're less cool. I think it's cool to just do it. For me, I think that I didn't get as much into Zenmap because it was another thing to install on a lot of the systems I was using. And I was already in the command line for things like T-Shark and doing packet capture there. So for me personally, it wasn't a very big stretch to just keep it on the command line. And I think one of my probably most common Nmap commands is the help, where it breaks out all the switches for you that you forgot.
And when you say switches, does that mean like an Nmap command?
That's correct. Something that it's an aspect that allows you to add options or remove aspects of a scan. Switches allow you to tune that scan to do what you exactly want it to do.
Okay.
So some of using Nmap comes back to, okay, what's our goal here? What do we want to do? Are we looking for a single device? Are we enumerating just it? Are we working with a whole network? Are we going beyond that? Because it is very easy to let Nmap go, and it can be very aggressive on our network. So those switches allow us to focus that scan into what we're really wanting to achieve.
Is there a better word they could have chosen instead of switches? Because we're talking about network scanning, and that seems like it could get confusing very quickly.
How about options?
Thank you.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm going to have to do the mental switching in my head, but yeah.
I've never thought about that before, but yeah, in Linux, you know, you've got your switches, like you a dash that. Even in DOS, we did it.
Yeah.
You know what? That's a good point that I've just never even thought about.
I'm glad I can contribute something to the podcast. Thank you.
Thanks, Drew.
So what do we mean by scanning the network then? How is it scanning? I assume probably TCP. Are there other ways to scan the network?
Okay. So basically, so if I just took Nmap and I just say, okay, Nmap and Drew's subnet. All right. So one of Nmap's first goals is to figure out what's out there. If it's doing it on its local network, right? Unless I tell it to go off network somewhere. So the first thing it wants to know is what's alive. So what it will do is it'll look, it'll run an ARP sweep to say, okay, who's here? Who's on this network? Mm-hmm. Who's active and talking at layer two? And once it figures that out, it figures out where the IP addresses are, then it's able to start combing through those and do more discovery. So It's going to say, okay, I found Drew's machine. Now let's take a look a bit more deeply about what that machine is doing. So he's not just at this IP address, but is he responding to port 80? Is he responding to port 443? Is he responding to some basic stuff if I ping him? So what is he able to respond to? And by default, Nmap will do a very quick scan through the top 1000 TCP ports, and it will respond back, oh, Drew's running this port. And now I know not just that he's up, but also some of the ports that he's responding to. So that's just a basic scan. So that port scan, so it's not just about is a TCP port open. Nmap is also doing, if you look at it on the wire, which is something I highly recommend, to capture your scans, because then you know what they're really doing. Nmap runs a lot of protocols underneath the hood to be able to figure out who Drew is, what he's doing, what ports is he running. And also too, and we'll talk about this in just a moment, there's also a lot of different styles of scans I can run. Do I want to be in stealth mode, connect mode? Do I just want to run an axe scan? Do I want to do a Christmas scan, a null scan? So all of those scans will tweak what I put out there, and I'm listening to see how does Drew respond to learn more about Drew. So that's the goal of Nmap.
I want there to be a joke about Drew doesn't respond to switches here, but I did get a giggle. I got a giggle.
Can we do like a Ghostbusters thing? Like, you know, I ain't afraid of no switch or something. We're getting a bunch of giggles. We're getting ongoing giggles, Jennifer.
Oh, I know. It's that kind of day.
It's that kind of day.
See, this is part of our Nmap. See, we're poking.
I'm being probed.
Yep, and we're seeing what comes up.
Yep, are we going to get the Drew giggle? Are we going to get the silent Muppet laugh? Or is he going to just scowl at me? So
I'm being fingerprinted. This is weird. Yeah,
I like this analogy because it's very similar.
It is. Right. Okay, you talked about, I think you said the basic scan is like the 1000 of the most common TCP ports, but I know Nmap can do other stuff too. So UDP scans, can you talk a little bit about some of the different types of scans? And then you mentioned stealth scans. What does that mean?
For sure, yeah. And if anybody's listening, it's a great thing to just go Nmap and then just do --help. And you're about to see all these different options or switches.
Thank you.
To see what they all do. So a common one is, what type of scan do you want to run, user? Because if you don't tell me, I'm just going to do this thing called TCP stealth scan. Basically, what that means is, okay, back to Drew, if I find Drew's IP is up, I just want to see, is he running port 80? Nmap can send a TCP SYN to port 80 on Drew. If it's open, Drew hits me back and says TCP SYN ACK port 80. So he responds with a SYN ACK, because think about the TCP three-way handshake, SYN, SYN ACK, ACK. I send the SYN, I'm initiating it. He hits me back, SYN ACK, I know he's open. But now the question is, what do I do next? So if it's a stealth scan, I do nothing. I don't respond to that connection. It's left half open. Actually, I just lied to you. I can reset him and send back a reset and say, okay, I didn't really want to open this connection. I was just going to do a SYN, SYN ACK, and then reset. It's three packets. So historically, and I'll use this expression back in the day, machines would hopefully not log that event. They wouldn't log a new connection that was established with Drew.
The target, you mean, wouldn't log the fact that you had sent a SYN request to me and I had responded to it. Yeah.
That's correct. That was the hope and the goal. And so me as a scanner, or dare I say attacker, or just analyst.
Just curious.
I'm curious. If I'm just looking around and I don't want you to log that, then I can use a stealth scan.
Okay, so that's what constitutes a stealth scan. You're not trying to get the host to acknowledge that you've opened this request.
Correct. And I hopefully accomplish that by not completing the handshake. Mm-hmm. So I do SYN, SYN ACK, and I do not send the final ACK. I don't acknowledge your SYN. So hopefully Drew doesn't log that, because he's like, somebody was just sending me a SYN. I sent a SYN ACK. And then I do send you a reset. I do terminate the connection on my end, and I hopefully terminate it on yours.
You're not wasting that resource. Yeah.
Correct. I'm not trying to open up a bunch of half open connections and leave you hanging. I do finish that with a reset. That's what a stealth scan does. Now, here's why it's a bit of a misleading term these days, because a stealth scan is far from stealthy. like the IDS IPS systems can find this thing quick. If I ever was on a PCAP, if I'm just analyzing a network or if people send me a packet capture, because for the listening audience, that's my daily driver. That's typically what I'm involved in, is doing PCAP analysis. I mean, that's something you can spot super, super fast. The way that Nmap does it is very simple to identify. So it's not difficult at all to discover that these days with our modern technologies. That's why stealth scan, don't get caught up on that. It just means we don't finish the handshake.
Is the intent here then that you're just trying to be sort of like a good neighbor as you're doing your network scan and not create a lot of noise, not waste a lot of target resources? You just want to see, is this port responding?
I just want to see if it's open or not.
Okay.
It's just literally that. I just want to know what ports are open on Drew and where can I go from there? Another one is the connect scan. And this is where I actually finish the TCP connection. I send SYN, Drew sends SYN ACK, I finish the handshake, and then after that, I reset it. Now, this is different because a connect scan, Nmap as a tool will generate its own TCP packets. But in the case of a connect scan, it actually passes that from the user space within that operating system down to the kernel. It actually uses the TCP kernel of that operating system. So it says, hey, kernel, I want you to actually generate a TCP SYN from you to connect to Drew and finish that handshake. So one of the reasons why it's called connect is it actually passes that connect down to the kernel, and then Nmap doesn't actually generate that. The kernel stack does, that Nmap is sitting on. So that's one subtle difference there. Now the risk there is, okay, whoa, I just connected to Drew. I finished the handshake. Is he going to log that? An advantage to a connect scan is that now we're actually using the kernel of the operating system. So it's a little bit harder to detect because it looks very real. It's got the normal TCP options.
Would that look different depending on the platform you're on? So if you're like on a Linux box versus a Windows box versus Apple something, is it going to be formed appropriately for that operating system and indicate kind of the platform it's running on?
Yep. I just say, hey, TCP stack, you do it.
Okay.
Where if it's Nmap, then it looks the same everywhere. A stealth scan does. So now that can also be a negative. If I'm really trying to be like truly stealthy, well, I just gave up information to Drew, giving him a bit of information of the system I'm running an Nmap from. So it's a pro and con, right? Generally speaking, though, I would say most of the time, if we're just running basic Nmap scans, unless we specify which one we're doing, it's just going to do a stealth scan. It just wants to know, is a port open or not? After this, that's where you're going to see there's a long list of options there. You're getting into ACK scans, null scans. ACK scans are not TCP SYN scans. They just send out a TCP ACK. A null, I don't use any TCP flags. I just send out a TCP packet with zero flags. Christmas. I light up the flags like a Christmas tree. I activate several different flags. And my goal is to see, did Drew respond? Does the system respond? Sometimes I'm curious to send those to see if I can do any firewall evasion, or is it, how far is this packet getting before I get a response? So there's different goals to each of those scans. But if you're a new user of Nmap, the stealth scan, if we start there and then develop from that skill set, that's kind of like Nmap's home base.
So if I just want to do network discovery, it sounds like stealth scan would be sufficient for me just to find devices on my network.
Yeah, exactly. And also too, if you're doing network discovery, Nmap will also use ICMP. It'll also use ARP. So it's going to not just use the TCP aspect, also UDP. It'll also do some scanning with UDP as well.
You mentioned ARP, and I actually meant to ask this earlier when you brought it up. One of the things I've noticed, and I'm curious if you have any kind of tips or tricks, is, you know, sometimes if the ARP table has kind of, things have just aged out and expired from it, like the only way to kind of trigger to repopulate that is to do some type of a ping sweep. Can you initiate that from Nmap as well?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you can have it do a ping sweep, and you can, based on the options, not switches, you use swaptions.
Swaptions, I like it.
Based on the swaptions you use, you can tell it to not do the TCP scan. And you can say, just do an ICMP-based discovery, or just do an ARP sweep here. So you can be very specific and focused on what you tell Nmap to do.
And what about the UDP side? Because I know from a vulnerability standpoint, a lot of the things that are kind of lurking in the dark are on the UDP side, and that is of interest for a lot of architects and then, you know, engineers and defenders in the space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it has a lot of robust UDP scanning capabilities. So would I be interested in there if I send a UDP packet to a port that you're listening to or not listening to? Then unlike TCP that has a handshake, the question is, what am I going to get back, right? So some systems, it's going to kick me back an ICMP port unreachable, right? That's information, right? Or does it eat the packet? What does it do next, right? So UDP can help me further identify and fingerprint that device.
So something else that Nmap can do is fingerprint a host operating system. Can you talk about how it does that?
For sure. I think this is super interesting, but I'm a TCP nerd. So when I was first scanning and doing the operating system forensics on devices and looking at that fingerprinting and how it works, I mean, I was just like, wow, this is super cool. So I like doing this part of, it's actually part of my threat hunting course that I do with Wireshark. I have a course all about how to find weird with Wireshark. And OS fingerprinting is definitely one of those things. Basically, what it does is Nmap has a database of how a TCP stack responds for several different devices. I mean, thousands of them. Mm-hmm. All operating systems have their little nuances. They have subtle changes. So if you're on a Mac versus Windows versus Linux, those kernels have little things that they do that are a little different. So little settings they have. So what's the starting value of the window size? Or Drew, what does his TCP stack respond with or even initiate in a SYN? What are the options that it uses? What order are they in? So each one of those things, every little piece of information I get out of a TCP SYN from Drew tells me about the kernel stack that actually generated that, the TCP stack within Drew. Mm. It tells me about what that thing is set up to do. So all I got to do is get Drew talking. So what I'll do if I'm fingerprinting Drew is I'll just find Drew's IP, then I'll find hopefully an open port. If I can find those two things, I can then just go to work. I can say, okay, Drew, what are you gonna do with this? What are you gonna do with that? Well, here's a null scan. Here's a TCP ACK. Here's a Christmas scan. Here's another TCP SYN, but I'm gonna make a bunch of changes. I'm gonna remove an MSS option. I'm gonna change up the order of my options. I'm gonna change the window size dramatically. I'm gonna go down to a window size of 1. So I make all these little tweaks and adjustments. I send you some stuff. And frankly, I send you some stuff that's illegal. I send you a SYN that has an ACK number, the sequence and acknowledgement number within a TCP SYN. Mm-hmm. Usually when I initiate a TCP SYN, I do not send you an ACK number. I don't even have an ACK flag set. It's just the TCP SYN. So I send you, one of the things I do is I populate a bogus ACK number. My goal is to see what you do with it.
And that gives you information about what potentially the kernel is for this operator, so I can identify the operating system.
Yeah, absolutely. Because some operating systems are going to say, forget that, reset. And some will go, hey, I'm here to play. What do you need?
I went down a really deep rabbit hole a long time ago, sometime last year, with how some of the fingerprint, like the nuances of like Chris is describing, like how it responds and then certain versions of SSL that it's your TLS that it's using in combination with these other things. Who maintains all of this? Because that's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, when you install Nmap, Nmap does. There's a database that you can actually look up. Let's see if I can link to that. But when you install Nmap, that database is there.
But is it just community supports this and people like you or other people that feed into this backend database that populate that? Because, I mean, it's a lot of care and feeding on the backend.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you know, since it's open source, there's got to be somebody that's keeping that updated. I really don't know. I'm not sure on the back end who does that.
This is a good chance then to follow up with us, packetpushers.net/FU. If you're an Nmap developer and you have some insight on, we'd love to give them some recognition for the work they're doing.
That'd be sweet.
Or we just call Theodore and ask him.
Yeah. Somebody out there has got to know.
I'm curious how granular you can get. Obviously, it seems like being able to distinguish Mac from Windows from Linux could be good, but I'm wondering, does it start to get dicey when you're diving into different Linux distros if they're running on similar kernels? Like, what kind of expectations should I have around, well, I can figure out this is Ubuntu versus Red Hat versus whatever?
Oh, yeah. Yep. It can determine the difference between those. I mean, one that the listening audience can go check out is scanme.nmap.org. If you're interested, just fire up Nmap, do -o. That's the swaption. And just put scanme.nmap.org and then go at it. Like, I think the Linux distro it's running is Linux 5.0, something. But if you can get some good responses, it all depends on how much you actually get back. If I don't hear nothing from you, if I'm like, hey, Drew, let's play. Like, hey, what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with this? And I just hear crickets, then I can't fingerprint them, right? But if you start giving me some info and responding and playing ball, the more you speak, the more I learn. And then I compare that against my database, and then I can better fingerprint you. So there's nuances between Windows 10, Windows 11, the different distributions within Linux and Ubuntu. So usually you can be pretty successful in tightening that down to which operating system you're working with. And that's really important information, especially if you're on the cyber side, you want to know, or actually, you know, networking side as well. If there's a new device on my network, what is it? Is it a Raspberry Pi? Like, what is this thing doing?
So I have a side quest question.
I love it.
I think one of the things we see a lot in Nmap scans is, you know, sometimes it'll show you open ports, and then if you want to, it'll show you the closed ports that it looked for. But we also see filter ports, and I know we tend to see those if there's something filtering between us and them, like a firewall or some other thing with ACLs. But sometimes when there's nothing between us, we still see filtered ports. What does that indicate?
So basically, filtered means, like you said, with firewalls, let's just imagine you're behind a firewall. If I send you a SYN for port 80 and the firewall eats it, well, then you never got it, so you can't respond. And the firewall shouldn't, is the word, take any action. It should just dump it. Uh-huh. So all I know from the sending side is that I sent a SYN, but I didn't hear anything back. So fundamentally, that's what filtered means. Now, what if that firewall forwards it, but now you have a local firewall, Jennifer, on your machine? So then you could locally filter that thing. You saw it, but you're like, meh, I'm not responding to this. Or what if you got it, it went through your local firewall, got all the way to your service, and you generate a response, but that response gets lost on the way back to me. Either way, whichever of those happened, I didn't hear back from you. Filtered.
So if there's not a firewall in between, then there's some type of filtering happening on that target device or on the source device. And so this is another one of those cases where your underlying operating system and the security tools that you have may be influencing what you're seeing out of an Nmap scan.
You bet. Because getting anything back from you is information. So even if you send, historically, if I send you a port that you're not listening to, you should reset. But if your operating system's like, nah, we're just not responding to SYNs, that just leaves me completely guessing. Like, I have no idea. Like, if you just told me, oh, port 80 is closed, it's like, oh, okay, I can move on. I'll find one that she doesn't reset.
Yeah, so I guess we should mention Nmap distinguishes different kinds of responses. There's open, closed, filtered, and I think there's like variations of closed / filtered, yeah.
Exactly, yep. Open means I sent a SYN, got a response. Closed, I sent a SYN, got a reset, and then filtered. Like Jennifer just said, I sent my SYN and I didn't get anything back. So either a firewall ate it, the operating system made a decision not to respond, or another possibility is that the response was dropped by the network on the way back to me or filtered.
You got ghosted.
Yeah. That'd be the first two.
So one thing I'm getting is that Nmap can produce a lot of data. Are there things people should be looking for in the output, or how can I turn this sort of data dump into actionable information?
That's definitely something when you're first learning Nmap that you can accidentally do, is you can just slam your network full of stuff. You can just be like, oh, Nmap, go figure it all out. And Nmap's like, okay, this thing's going to take an hour, but I'm going to figure it all out. Because if you think about it, like, what if you're on a populated network? Like, go find every active IP and then go scan every active IP with 1,000 TCP SYNs. So we can see how that can exponentially increase depending on how aggressive I set the scan to be. So it all starts with our goals. How do you make Nmap quiet? So think about your goal. Are you just looking at a single station? Are you interested in just a single port? Well, you can configure the using swaptions. You can configure the tool to just do that one thing. Where if we just go open forum and don't direct Nmap, Nmap will be like, sure, I'll go rip through this network. I'll figure out every single port. So it's all about just starting from our goal and making Nmap, through the instructions we give it, making it more focused to what our goal is. Sometimes when I'm in my Nmap class that I teach as well, there's an Nmap class that I have available. Sometimes I'll see the new attendees come in and they're like, oh, Nmap dash A, someone told me to run dash A. Well, dash A literally means aggressive. So you're going, okay, so dash A and then a subnet. So, okay, let's back up and see what we just told Nmap to do. Nmap's going to rip through. It's going to find everybody that's talking. It's going to completely enumerate the ports. When it finds a port, it's going to do an operating system scan. And then it's also going to run all of its default scripts against that device.
So aggressive means not just that sort of 1,000 common points, but the 65,000 ports available, or?
You know, with aggressive, I got to rerun it myself to remember the specific on that one. I know it's at least 1,000 ports, if not the full 65535 ports. So maybe somebody who's listening knows, but I think by its name, it should do all of them, but I'd have to actually capture it and verify. But point is, it then goes further. It's like, okay, operating system detection, and now the default scripts. So you're going to spend some time. That thing's going to take a while. Hmm. Another thing that we can do with Nmap is we can also use things called timing templates. And what those allow us to do is either speed the scan up, slow it down. So we can be very aggressive in the amount of time it takes, or we can send out quite a few packets per second. We can send out thousands and thousands of packets per second on our network and really speed it up. Or we can do the opposite. If we're an attacker and really want to try to stay below the radar, we can slow it way down. So you could have an Nmap scan that takes months, because you're only letting out one packet every few seconds or every few minutes. And the goal there is you're trying to evade detection.
Right. This seems more like either you're a pen tester or a malicious actor in that kind of setting, yes.
That is exactly the case. So -T0 is basically the slowest scan. That thing's going to take months. Or -T5, it's basically from 0 to 5. Like, that's the way to tune it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So if you do nothing, T3 is what Nmap uses. If you want to speed it up, T4, T5. If you're like, hey, this thing is taking half an hour, I want to speed that thing up. But just know you're being more aggressive on your network.
And what do the results look like? Is it something that I would like take and throw into a database and then be able to query it? Or am I just sort of like scrolling through page after page of here's this IP address, here's the ports that are open, here's the potential fingerprint of the OS, et cetera? How does it look?
Yeah, it's definitely command line output. So from there, we can dump it to a grepable format where we can search. We can dump it out to a CSV. We can dump it out to a text file and then do some further searching on it. For me, what I find when I'm scanning, what I'll do is I'll look through and I'll find a bit more of what I'm looking for. And then that will make me run another scan, but more focused, because I like a neat output if possible. So I'll usually go back and adjust my scan to be a bit more focused to one IP, to one port, to one goal. And then that'll be a nice, neat output that I learn about depending on what my goals are. Because really, my real goal is just to capture it with packets. I mean, sometimes I'm like, okay, get out of my way, output Nmap. I want to see what you're actually doing on the wire. I want to see all the stuff because, dare I say, Nmap also can lie.
Oh, how so?
Well, okay. If you look in the help file, you can see one of the swaptions.
I love that swaptions is going to be a thing now.
It better be.
Just like threnting.
Threnting and swaptions.
We got two under our belt. Let's see if we can keep this going.
I'm going to use them in the same sentence. We've got to figure this out.
Do it. Do it, Chris. Do it.
When we're thrunting, if the attacker uses lots of swaptions, it can be difficult to detect. I want that on a mug. So where were we?
You said Nmap can lie sometimes.
Yeah. So, okay, take a ping scan. Now, Jennifer, you're a networking person. So if I say, hey, Jennifer, I just ran a ping scan on the network, what did you think that looks like?
Well, I would think it's ICMP.
Yeah. You just pinged a bunch of stuff. ICMP, okay. Echo request, echo reply. But by default, Nmap's not going to do that. It's a TCP ping. Mm. So it sends out a bunch of TCP sends. So that's an example of, unless I know that, I think I'm putting out ICMP.
Okay.
I think generally speaking, most people would think that. I'm just going to run a ping scan. That's not actually how it's working unless I specifically tell it to do so. So that's an example where that was one of the things that led me down the rabbit hole of capturing every Nmap scan I was running to see on the wire, what is this thing actually putting out there? Because I was interested in the how it generates that scan.
Yeah. So since you are a Wireshark person, what's the value then to you of combining Wireshark and Nmap? Why would somebody want to do that besides you who just are digging in and nerding out?
I think for me, when you're learning Nmap, it's hard to unplug the two. I think they go together because you're learning about what you're putting on the wire. You learn more about how the scan works by watching how it works, especially for me when it gets into the scripts. For example, scripting. So you have your basic stuff with Nmap. So you can do a discovery of devices. You can look at different TCP ports that are available. You can go through and look at different operating systems, look at their versions. But then when you get into scripting, it gets a bit more interesting because Nmap comes preloaded, or you can create your own Nmap scripts. But all we know is just a list of names. So example, HTTP enum or a TLS version. There's a handful of them that I like to use, but all I have is a name of a script, but what's that thing actually do? So that's why for me, you can make Nmap more verbose, meaning if you do the swaption as -v or -vv, that makes it more chatty. It's telling you more about what it's doing. But for me as a packet person, I like to capture that thing and go, oh, this is what this thing is doing. This is what it's actually attempting to do. And this is how it works. Now, for me, the reason why I like that, it helps me remember. It helps me understand. I'm not just kicking in an output and just hoping for the best. Like, I know exactly what I'm putting out on the network and why I'm putting it out there.
Yeah. And after we get done with this, Chris, I'm going to be calling you separately because there's a script I was running here during some of the testing for the CyberScope stuff. And every time I ran one of the scripts against the printers, they all just lost their freaking mind and started printing just pages of symbols.
Now that's cool.
Yeah. Well, cool. I had what I call yummy paper in my printer, very expensive, nice, glossy paper, getting ready for an event. So yeah, there was probably $20 or $30 of delicious, yummy, thick paper that was wasted in the name of science, though.
Okay, not cool. That part's not cool, but it'd actually be kind of fun if you were on someone's network to start making their printers go berserk.
I have seen that happen before.
So if I was, you know, network engineer running a packet capture and I detected some Nmap scanning that I hadn't been aware was going on, would there be potentially clues in there to tell me if this was just somebody else on the team doing a discovery, or was this malicious activity or a pen test that I'd stumbled across? Any clues that I could divine?
100%. First question, where did that thing come from? And I have seen this while I've been doing packet analysis for a client. You know, I'm looking through their packet captures. We're looking for something completely different. Why is this database slow? And then I'm like, what's up with this TCP packet? This is Nmappy. Who is that person? Why is your light bulb sending out Nmap scan? You know, and that's where, you know, oh, Jennifer's running some tests. I'm like, okay, well, no worries. We just saw some of Jennifer's scan activity. But if that's coming from somewhere I don't expect it to, well, then now we just went down a whole different thing. Like, why are we being enumerated?
Mm-hmm. You just got yourself some more consulting hours at that moment.
Typically, yeah, that's the case. You know, or sometimes that'll lead us back to the IDS IPS system, who may have been warning us of this, but we kind of played it down. Maybe the IDS IPS system has been, our intrusion detection has been saying, oh yeah, Drew's been running this Nmap scan, or here's this behavior, Jennifer's been running it, Chris has been running it, but then who's Bill? You know?
Right.
So depending on how it's configured, we might be used to ignoring all that stuff, but then some rando shows up doing it as well. So we kind of want to know who the rando is.
Speaking of randos scanning stuff, you know, one of the things I know we always tell people is when you start getting into certain environments, don't just go scan stuff. Like, understand what you're doing, understand what you're scanning, at least to enough of a degree to not cause harm. And in an enterprise IT network, that typically most of the basic Nmap scans are relatively harmless. I'm choosing my words carefully here. I have accidentally bricked an enterprise firewall with an intense Nmap scan, that aggressive mode that you mentioned earlier. Completely accidental, did not intend to do it, but completely bricked the whole thing and it was not good. And I've knocked over other devices with other scans, full disclosure there. But one of the things I know, like, as enterprise IT teams are starting to take some certain roles in securing OT and ICS and certain kind of other IoT thingies like building and facilities management, one of the things, you know, that we keep saying and beating the drum is, hey, don't go run all of your normal enterprise IT network scans over on the OT network, because you don't know how that thing is going to respond. So can you speak to, like, some of the maybe more common Nmap swaptions that do weird things, like leave connections open or send malformed packets or things that should be avoided?
Honestly, what you just said is so important. We got to know what our real goal is here and what the ramifications of a scan could be, because, you know, I too am guilty of unintentionally setting off some alarms, dropping a box, breaking something because this scan was too aggressive. So what the listening audience should not do is just pull out Nmap and just let this thing just scream through your network, because it can be very destructive depending on the system. So not all systems are built equal in terms of how they process TCP connections or handle UDP ports. it can be really easy to overrun them. And not all devices can support the same number of connections. You know, that some of them are very simple. I mean, operational technology, like you mentioned, some of these devices have just very simple stacks on them. They can only handle a handful of connections. So when we break out Nmap, we just hammer that thing. And it doesn't know how to respond. I mean, it basically, it just gets overwhelmed very, very simply and easily. So I think if you are in that type of environment, this is where simple, 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 be very careful not to scan a subnet. Always set a specific port or a specific very tight range of ports that you're focused on. You know, I can say, just talk to Drew, just port 80, just port 443, and only look at the service version. So that's where we back up and we get way more specific in the type of scan that we're interested in running, because we don't want to unintentionally tip something.
There are some really nice OTICS Nmap cheat sheets that we'll post in the show notes.
Great.
We didn't make them. Chris, I don't think you made any of those. I didn't make any of those, but I trust the sources that some of those came from. So we'll drop those in if you are going to, with permission, perhaps in a test environment, not production. That would be a good place to start if you're going to do that.
Yeah, agreed. That would be a great list to have.
Are you aware, either of you, of any like Nmap variants designed for an OT or ICS environment, or not Nmap, but a specific tool that's been designed for those environments to do scanning and discovery?
I'm not aware of one that's specific to that environment, but am aware of how to simplify a scan tool to behave nicer in that environment.
I know there's some tools out there. Some of them use what Chris just described, like those modified, you know, toned down swaptions that are more safe. But there are options and tools and products from vendors that specialize in those spaces that do their own, I'm sure, flavor of that. And some of them like do speak, you know, Modbus, Profibus, those protocols. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are kind of more tuned for some of the specific manufacturers. So they're probably doing subsets of Nmappy type things combined with other stuff that's a little bit further up the stack.
Sounds like it could be another episode for us.
Yeah.
So Chris, one more question before we wrap up. And thank you in advance for spending so much time with us. This has been great. But assuming you are a good actor, you're doing an Nmap scan for good and reasonable purposes, any advice if you're just, you know, starting out using this tool and introducing it to your environment?
Yeah, for sure. There's a few things we can do. First, we just want to make sure people know what we're doing, right? So don't just unleash Nmap.
Surprise!
Yeah, exactly.
YOLO. Oh, Drew, I have an episode idea. Okay, if you do just go YOLO with Nmap on the network, and you break crap, and then you get fired, we will have an episode on how to update your resume.
Yay! Well, and you can imagine for me, these are things that I don't do when I'm a consultant, because I'm not trying to break down your network and get sued. So
first thing is warn people. Let other people in the environment know.
Warn people. Let them know what you're doing. Ask if there's any known issues, if there's anything you should be aware of, so they can also consider that with their IDS systems. Also, you can back down from the aggressive. Don't do dash A unless you need to. Mm-hmm. Also, stay in the range. Like if you don't use the aggressive timing, so dash T5, for example, that might be something we want to stay away from. And also to learn Nmap in a controlled environment. Don't do it on your enterprise network. So start in a lab, start with something that you can control, just a few devices, and learn how it works and capture it, just really see how it works before you let it loose on a network with many thousands of devices.
Could you start at home?
Oh yeah, for sure. I think so. And I mean, you could start with just scanme.nmap.org. It's out there to be scanned. You know, we don't want to just all rip it at once, but you know, even for some of my Nmap courses that I teach, you know, what I do is I just bring a little network and a couple of VMs, but we completely unplug that from any type of environment where we could unintentionally cause some pain. So that's how I would step into learning Nmap. So start in a control environment. If you do open it up, let people know and be very focused in the way that you run those scans.
Okay, so if you don't have a lab, you can go to scanme.nmap.org and run an Nmap scan at that environment.
It actually invites you to.
Okay, that's great. And if folks want to learn more from you about Nmap or Wireshark or anything else, what do you have for them?
So out on Udemy, I have an Nmap course. It's a full start to finish course. It'll get you started with Nmap. It'll teach you all of the different swaptions we learned and talked about today. And we also capture it with Wireshark and learn the actual wireline stuff that it's putting out there. Also, something that I personally do, I really enjoy going on to platforms like TryHackMe and Hack the Box, because a lot of those platforms have rooms specific to learning Nmap, and they put you in a controlled environment where you can just learn how this thing works. And also they teach you how to tone it down. So I definitely recommend those as well. Also, we'll include some links to my YouTube channel. And on my YouTube channel, I have little 5 to 10 minute little tutorials of how to run a stealth scan, a Kinect scan, OS fingerprinting, how to run just a general Nmap scan. So hopefully that can help people as they're learning and remembering some of these configurations.
All right, that's awesome. Yeah, we'll have all of those links in the show notes that accompany this. But if you're just looking to go find something right away, just search for Chris Greer. That's G-R-E-E-R, Chris Greer. He's on Udemy. He's on YouTube. He's on the internet. I'm sure you'll be able to find him. But again, links in the show notes. Thank you, Chris, for, again, being with us. You also did a show with us on Wireshark. We'll have that link in the show notes, too, if you're curious about Wireshark and want to get into it. Great stuff from that conversation. But again, thank you for being here with us. And as always, thanks to you, the listener, for joining us for another episode of Packet Protector. If you have a topic you want us to cover or a comment, a correction, or a question, you can reach out at packetpushers.net/FU. We do love the follow-up. We appreciate when listeners reach out, and we take every FU seriously. And also to let you know, Packet Protector is part of the Packet Pushers podcast network. That network includes a dozen technical podcasts for your professional development on networking, security, IPv6, DevOps, and more. It's got an industry blog, 2 weekly newsletters, a community Slack group, a YouTube channel, and even an IRC group. You can find it all at packetpushers.net. It's free with no login required. And as always, remember to do those security push-ups. Mm-hmm.